The most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles. Pointing at the doggy.
Gummy ball.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, no worries, I have good footy.
Which part is that? Was
I've got a real problem with that.
Bloody
hello. I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a show about things and stuff, about the week and that. And what a week it's been. The Prime Minister met with Her Majesty the Queen.
Oh, good morning.
The Prime Minister of Australia, Your Majesty. It's wonderful to see you.
Peter Credlin received an Order of Australia less than a month after her life story Cruella came out of the cinema. And American track and field star Shelby Houlihan received a 4-year ban after testing positive for steroids, which she blamed on a pork burrito. Kids, say no to pork. Joel Kasem is the name I use when writing my pen pals. And speaking of pals, here are a few of my own. First up is a woman who was Across the Park's G7 representative. It's Gabby Morris.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Oh,
that was a new one for me.
What, just saying hello?
Just like, yeah, it was weird.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable? Are you okay with that?
No, I'll do it again.
Okay. It's Gabby Morris.
Hey there.
That's better.
Yeah.
Much more cheery.
I think I sound a bit kind of croaky and the microphone's trying to run away
from
me.
Don't blame it.
Hello.
Hello. Also joining us is a man whose search history caused a global outage. It's Mick Rad.
Sometimes you forget incognito mode and you need to go look up things which you shouldn't without it. And then
not
you get
shouldn't.
Caught.
You just don't want anyone to see.
That's right. Yeah.
You don't want to shame anyone.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like being shamed, but I'm quite open with my my search history. It's just online for everyone to see.
Okay.
Not like that woman that murdered her husband.
What?
Why is that funny?
She literally Googled how to murder your husband.
Oh. Did that really happen?
Yes. She just got convicted of murder.
And, okay, and then she murdered
she
him.
She literally
and then
had this
Google
history of, like, can the police track your... Your search history. How do you murder your husband?
Look, like how? It's a lesson to everyone. Every search record you do could be discovered if they wanted to.
Yes.
Well, they're not just going to look at it unless they want to. Unless you do anything wrong.
Unless you murder your husband, exactly.
Yeah. Sure. And then I love the idea that the detectives were like, should we go through our computer records and stuff? And one of them's like, no, probably not. Oh, you know what? Just we'll tick the boxes. We'll look at it. We'll look at it. How did I murder your husband and get away with it?
But surely that's just circumstantial evidence.
Well, I think they obviously dug a little deeper and realised that her fingerprints were all over the weapon.
Oh, that'll do it. How to get your fingerprints off a weapon.
But just imagine if, like, you were just, you know, and like, hi, honey, how's your day? Yeah, good. And you're, like, on your phone literally Googling how to murder them. Like,
because, like, just because you search for the weirdest thing to pee in people's bums doesn't mean you're going to stick
excuse
something
me, sorry,
up your
what?
Bum.
What did you just say? Pee in people's bums.
No, no.
That's what it sounded like.
The weirdest things that people put up their bums. Like, if you search for that.
Mike, I can't take you seriously right now. The little smirk on your face, because I know for a fact you've Googled that. What is safe to put up my bum?
All I'm saying is that you can search
no
for
shame.
Something.
No shame. There's no shame.
You can search for something and nobody, it doesn't mean you're going to do it.
Sure. Totally. Yeah. But also, like, no shame. You can put things up your bum. It's fine. Just make sure it's safe and there's lubricant and you've got a, you know.
Yep.
Great.
Thanks. Thanks for the permission.
Do you need help? Like, I can show you some.
Boy.
Wow.
Boy.
We always managed to go there really quickly.
We dragged the show down so fast.
But, like, it's within, like, 2 minutes it's gone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We're 4.5 minutes
and
into the show.
The station manager's calling us. Oh, dear. Yeah, sorry, Martin.
All right. Hello.
Joel, hello. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
No, I asked you. You've already asked me.
Okay, sure.
You get cranky because no one says hello to you, and then you say ask it back. I mean, that's not how it works.
Okay.
I went surfing.
How was surfing?
It was freezing.
Yeah.
I nearly lost a nipple. just gone. Snapped right off.
What to do when you lose a nipple?
Yeah, what would you do? Bleed. I've got three, so it doesn't matter.
Imagine. I wish someone I knew had a superfluous nipple.
I do. I'm telling you a fact.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, not even playing around. But I didn't lose any. They're all there.
Okay.
But it was freezing.
I know someone with three nipples. I mean,
you
could be lying.
You need to add that on your LinkedIn bio.
No, but I know you could be lying because you always pull the piss.
No, not a lie.
Pull the piss.
If you would like, I can get my mum to call into the show and confirm.
Okay.
I was born that way.
Great.
No shame.
Awesome. I know someone with three nipples. This is awesome. this is the best day of my life.
Anyone got four? Anyone? Rowan? Four nipples?
Unfortunately, no. Just the two.
Just the one for me. Okay, so how was surfing?
Surfing was good, but I don't have a proper wetsuit, and oh my goodness, it was so chilly. Like, the water was quite nice, but the wind, oh, like icicles. Mm. But it was beautiful. Really gets you going, puts you in a great mood. Had a hot cup of tea afterwards. Got some shackers, got some barrels in the green room, deep. Mm-hmm.
The best part about going in really cold water is warming up afterwards, mm-hmm. I think.
Fantastic.
But I've been in really cold water in Ireland. Like, it was summer, and it was the west coast of Ireland, and it was apparently beautiful in there. And seriously, I couldn't last, like, 90 seconds. It was so freaking cold. And they're all just, like, lounging around in the water. And I was cold for, like, 12 hours.
Yeah, I felt really cold after the surf on the week. I couldn't get warm for ages.
It's like in your bones, man.
Yeah, deep.
Well, I went to the mountains last week. We didn't get to talk about this because we had a guest on. And I was there for the snow. I was part of the snow that happened. I was part of it.
You were part of the snow.
I helped it happen.
That's part
of the
production.
We're going to call you Frosty.
And bring it down to -2 and go.
And so, yes, I can vouch that things do get cold.
I hope you said, "Ice to meet you."
No.
But that's from... Which Batman is that? That's
Batman and Robin, I believe.
That is Batman and Robin,
George Clooney.
And one of the worst films
I used to meet you
ever made. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. My girlfriend and I actually watched it not long before we went away.
Oh, there you
go. Yeah, there are some unbelievably corny lines in that. But yes, I saw snow.
Could you make a snowball?
No.
Could you make a snowman?
No. And so I didn't know how snowmen were made. I never... It's not a thing like...
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't know how they were rolled into balls and then...
What are you talking about? Have you not been to the snowman factory?
No.
What?
I've been
Did you bring the snowman connectors with you?
What?
What do you mean, Joel, you don't know how a snowman is made? Like, seriously, just break it down. How did you think... Did you think that there was, like, professional snowman makers that would come and...
Yes. No. I honestly had never thought about it. Until,
yeah, fair enough.
It's not like something I think about too often, but no, I saw someone like with a little ball and then they were just rolling in the snow and making it bigger. So this is for people who don't know, this is how it happens.
That's actually not 100% accurate.
That's not right?
No, you don't roll around.
You just need to roll it around.
If I was to guess, I just assumed people would just they just grabbed as much snow as they could and just made a ball, but... This guy had like a ball in the snow and he was just pushing it. And as he pushed it, more snow got onto it and it got bigger and bigger.
And then
he
got away from him and went down a hill. And then
was in the mountains.
Penrith was just like covered by a huge snowball.
I'm not sure where this is going, but I just wanted to say that I saw snow.
Good for you. You played in the snow, Joel.
And it was cold.
That's so nice.
Yes.
Lucky you.
Okay. What about you, Rowan?
I've been puppy training recently. Okay. So I've got a little cavoodle who likes to bite everything and anything. So
I hear you, buddy.
Just learning how to puppy train and not being in the snow.
But it's way too early to start walking, right? So
it's had its vaccination, so we're able to do, I think it's about 15 minutes a pop at walking, because you're supposed to, I want to tire him out because he's so energetic. It's just like, stop biting and chill, but the guideline is you're not supposed to, like, walk the dogs too much as their puppies, because they'll get, like, muscle damage if they over-exercise. So it's kind of a battle of, like, stop biting and sleep, but then also we don't want to ruin our dog.
Oh.
Wow.
This is interesting.
Having dogs and kids is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, why would you... Like, why?
Why?
I get have a dog. I love my dog, actually.
Also, I do love my dog. Also, like this disclaimer needs to be in there. He's adorable. Love him. Stop biting.
If you're listening right now,
if you're listening,
what's the dog's name? What's the dog's name, Rob?
Digby.
Digby.
Digby. Okay.
Digby. Here, Digby. 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 Come on.
Sit.
You're really in trouble if Digby starts digging, because then what do you say? How do you tell Digby to stop digging?
Exactly. It's an existential crisis.
Yeah. I can't handle
that. He can't handle that. His brain is not capable of handling that.
Stop digging, Digby. Is that what's
Yeah, got but you? Then you'll say, stop digging. It'll be like running through. And you're like really happy because you're calling him. But in actual fact, you're being angry at Digby. But you're saying his name. It's a bad name. Change it around.
Jeez Louise.
Where is this show going?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, Instagram poll.
Okay, well, this show is technically about sports, so I suppose we should start talking
Well, I did start talking about sport, and then Mick started talking about how much he only has 2 hours sleep.
Shut up, Gabby, I'm tired.
Yeah, you didn't finish what you were...
No, she didn't let me in, but no, it's done now. No, move on.
Okay. All right, then. We will
How funny would it be if we just had a huge fight right now, like through the glass?
You're lucky we're in different rooms, Gabby.
Yeah, okay. Let's start with...
Yeah, no worries. Hey, how good's footy?
NRL.
Mm.
Well, it should be noted that the Cowboys haven't won away from home this year. Manly still managed a huge win without their star, Tom Trbojevic, beating...
You said it wrong. Trbojevic.
Trbojevic. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you was the one saying it wrong. Trbojevic. Now I can't say it. Trbojevic.
Yay!
Trbojevic.
Our guest last week said, mentioned how well I said it, remember?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
But I thought he was just being nice. they beat North Queensland 50-18. A field goal or foot goal by the unwanted Sean Johnson for Cronulla brought Penrith their second loss in 2 weeks. That same loss means Melbourne are now sitting on top of the ladder after their win over the Warriors. You okay, mate? Do you need a moment?
Just sick of Melbourne being on top. It's like they're just magnet. It's like a magnet. They just end up at the top every year. It's just like, stop it.
Yeah. Well, someone has to stop it.
Well, it's rigged.
No one can. And it's
rigged. We know this. Every time.
Poor Cam Mamalo has left the Warriors in a mid-season switch to go to the awful Tigers. He lined up on the wing for New Zealand last weekend against Melbourne, scoring 3 tries. And now he'll line up for the Tigers this week against Melbourne again.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That doesn't happen very often.
I would think maybe...
Mid-season, like especially just like one game to the next like that. I can't remember ever.
I can remember it happening once with the team. I think it happened to the Tigers. I think the Tigers played a team and they lost, and then they lost the next week and one of the players from that team went over and beat them again.
And won both times?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, from a different team.
Playing a different... It's okay. Very confusing. I don't know it how... Is. The way I said it was very bad.
Are you going to talk about how your team lost to my team?
We can if you like, sure. We can talk about people kneeing players in the head.
Oh, come on. Did you see what happened before that?
Nothing.
Oh!
What happened before that?
Well, the Tigers player was like all over the guy's face. Yeah. Kneed him first.
There was no knee.
Oh, it was an elbow.
It was a hand.
I want to know which body part was it. I want facts.
It was
here.
A third nipple to the face. it was a very. There was a lot going on in that game.
Yeah, the last 15 minutes of that game just got really messy and spiteful. It was 10 minutes in the bin for both sides. And Parramatta were up like 20 odd points, so there was no need for it. But it was just a weird ending to the game.
Yeah. But go on, say what you got to say, and I'll listen.
Come, Parra.
Wait, you can't turn my mic off.
What's going on? Oh.
No, sorry, go.
No, nothing. I won't continue.
No, please.
But hey, we're Parra. Like, just loved. I mean, I don't love beating your team. I like the Tigers. But you're always saying how bad they are. They haven't won 3 games in a row for how long? Since 2018?
Not in my lifetime.
I think since 2018 they haven't won 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
And they
couldn't do it again.
Still haven't.
Yeah.
Anyway, bad luck. But the big thing, big news to me personally in the football week is that I nearly got a perfect round except for Rowan's damn Bulldogs.
Yeah, the Doggies. An amazing win. Best thing that's happened in rugby league in 2021.
Jesus.
Amazing.
Can you turn his mic off or what?
I actually don't know.
I think I can.
Yeah, Gabby can.
I won't.
Bulldogs, yes, beat Saints 28-6, which is not, it's a thrashing. I could be wrong and I might need this to be checked. Cronulla, Bulldogs beat Cronulla, right? That
correct.
Was their, aside from last weekend, that was their first win. And then Cronulla beat Panthers, who, so Cronulla lost to the team coming last and beat the team coming first.
Which means that Canterbury are better than
Canterbury. That's how it works. You should be on top and then the ladder.
Yeah, equal top of the ladder.
Magic.
Anything else on NRL?
Oh, just a reminder that last week New South Wales beat Queensland 50-6. Yeah. I just
can't
wanted
stop
to mention
talking about that.
Next game is next weekend?
Origin? Sunday week.
Nice.
I believe the teams get announced this weekend and they go back into camp and we do it all again.
Yes. Indeed. No, yeah, you're right. It is next weekend. 27th?
Yes.
On the Sunday?
Yep. Yeah. So next weekend there's no NRL games. There's just going to be Origin. The standalone Origin on Sunday.
It's an interesting way of doing it. That's sort of what they did last year when they did it at the end of the year and there was no games. They just had Origin for like 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I like the Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights are fun.
Yeah.
Gives you something to do on a Wednesday.
Yes. Swimming.
Oh,
the Australian swimming trials have been going on this week and I bloody loved it. If I can be honest.
Yeah.
You've been enjoying
it?
Really
enjoyed it. I saw some highlights. It was pretty epic.
I really like watching the swimming. I don't know what it is. I think because growing up, my mum used to watch it all the time. So I think.
Oh, and you were like a burgeoning swimmer.
And yes, I raced in and thought, we don't have to talk about that. And I'm sick of talking about how good I was.
Okay. I'll stop.
No, Rowan, Gabby, stop talking about it, please.
Yeah.
No, but it's been really good. It's still going. I think it finishes.
Any standout like kids that are coming up or who are like going to get like medals at the Olympics that we've never heard of?
This is the thing. I didn't really take notes while I was watching it. I've just really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going to say there are a lot of good up and coming swimmers I've seen.
I just remember one name.
Jenna Strauch?
Strauch? What?
Strauch? Strauch.
Spell
it. Sorry, Jenna. 200 metre breaststroke.
Yes.
Great time.
Oh, great.
Well done.
Okay.
That really famous singer guy, that young guy, what's his name?
Oh, yeah, the guy who
the
went.
Hot guy? Who used to date Miley Cyrus?
What?
Yes, okay, yeah.
You know him?
Went from
what's
pop star to swimmer.
Yes.
Is it Cody? Cody something?
Cody Simpson.
There you go.
Don't know how he did, but he's in it.
No, I think he did well.
Yeah, he did. He's been training really hard.
In his... I love... The three of us... Four of us, sorry, are looking at... trying to look stuff up as we talk.
So much research done in this show. I love it.
Mitch Larkin? What a classic Aussie, like, Olympic name.
Yeah.
Here he comes, Mitch Larkin, up the
it's
line.
Very Aussie, isn't it? Very Aussie.
Yeah.
But it's been, no, look, it's been really good. They do all events. They do the for the Olympics and the Paralympics at the same time. There's just the most incredible stories that come out of the Paralympians.
Mm.
And I can't, because some of them, like, I mean, not all of them have qualified, but the ones that do qualify, when you hear their stories, you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
You like, this is such an amazing effort.
Mm.
It makes us look like
piss poor
losers that we are. But it's been really good. But one thing that did stand out to me watching it was when they do the backstroke, they try and do the heats really fast. And some people can't get out of the water fast enough. So you've all seen people start backstroke. They hold on to the...
Yeah, I used to be good at backstroke. That was my stroke.
Okay.
I got to the regionals.
Regionals, that's good, mate. That's good for you. No, I'm joking. That's really good. So they hold...
Oh, my
gosh.
You can keep trying, but you're just going to get slaughtered.
This episode's going to kill me.
Why?
I don't know.
To start your backstroke, you hold on to the blocks and then you go backwards. Mm-hmm. But the people who haven't got out fast enough, you just see them hanging onto the lane rope and these people just do the back dive past them and then they get out. It's really weird.
What, you're saying the next heat starts before everyone's out of the pool?
Everyone's out of the pool. Yeah.
Well, so what the hell?
The race is finished, obviously.
Wait,
because they
back dive.
Well, you know what? You know, backstroke, and they hold onto the block, and then they go. I don't know what you call it.
Are you talking about like a 50 meters where they're at the other end of the?
They're at the same end.
No way.
The same end. I'm telling you, this is
surely it's not allowed.
Okay, according to Rule 2.1.8A of the Swimming Australia rules, the referee shall have the authority to commence a race prior to the swimmers in the previous race leaving the water.
Well, obviously the Olympics are coming up soon and they're just running out of time. Just got to get this done.
Hurry up, it's like a month away. Yeah. Just get them all in. We'll do it all at once. All events.
Every stroke all at once. You can just put like little trackers on them and we'll work it out later.
So there you go.
It's like the lanes, at, you know, down at the local pool.
Yeah.
And you're doing the back and two people in one lane. And yeah. Like, and if you close your eyes for a second, you start running into someone. Oh, shit. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, it's exactly like that. And yeah. I remember training and you do, if you're doing butterfly and two people are doing butterfly in the same lane trying to pass each other, you're going to hook. There's going to be some hook action with the arms.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Definitely.
Oh, that'd be really awkward. Or you smack someone in the eye as you stroke.
That's why you wear goggles. It's not so you can see underwater, so you don't get a thumb to the eye.
Excellent.
But we can talk about the swimming next week when it's all over, and we can.
Do some research next week.
Soccer. Okay. This was massive. I don't know if you haven't heard this news already. You're going to.
Good.
I'm going to say it.
Say it.
In the Denmark versus Finland match, the Danish midfielder Christian Eriksen collapsed for no apparent reason.
Ooh.
Did you watch the video?
I was watching that live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't sleep and watch the Euros. It's like 3 a.m. And then, granted, I was at a 30th. But anyway, that's a different story. he just collapsed. It was just truly kind of horrific. You can see the... Yeah,
it's so scary.
He has a cardiac arrest and just...
But you see him, he's kind of like walking forward and he kind of like gently kicks the ball, but then just keeps going forward and falls face first down to the ground. Oof. But you see the camera kind of go in and you realize like the panic on the other, why the panic, the players are panicking because he's just out, gone.
Yeah.
His eyes are open, but he's like definitely, you know.
So how is he?
I think that, well, he's fine. He's, I believe, still in hospital recovering,
but he
said, I'm okay. Like, I'm alive. Like you said, like the Finnish players, so not even his team, like they're the ones who noticed first.
They're like, stop, medics.
Straight away.
it was very traumatic for a lot of the players, and they're actually all getting counselling after it because they had to. He was getting CPR on the pitch. The captain did an amazing job, by the way. Got everyone to make a barrier.
Yeah.
The wife came on the pitch and was obviously very distraught.
So people couldn't see.
People couldn't see. Because it's very traumatic when you're watching someone have CPR.
And especially if that guy had died, like, seeing someone collapse and die on a field.
Yeah. It's just a random cardiac arrest. There was no pre-existing, like, health conditions. It was just like, and it's supposedly quite common with professional athletes because they're working their heart so much that it's not an uncommon thing.
I know it's an unpopular opinion, but this is why I don't exercise. Because your heart's only got a certain number of beats, right?
This is my theory.
Well,
you can't go down the other end, otherwise it's a surefire way to having a cardiac arrest.
What's the other end?
Not doing any exercise in your heart. No.
But maybe if you don't exercise too much, then your heart has a lot more beats left in it. And by the time you're old, it's like, I got shitloads of beats left in me.
You're going to live to 120. It's just beats. Like, it's not how it works.
It's like a little counter. Like,
yeah.
Damn, I wish it worked like that.
Oh, dear. Anyway, he's fine. He's in hospital. They played another game.
Okay.
They actually finished that game.
They finished that game.
Which is weird.
Would they have, it sucks. The Euros are good though.
Yes.
Exciting.
It's all happening.
England got a little bit too excited. They're not, again, everyone talks about England. It's like, they're actually not that great. You got France, you got Germany. These teams are the big teams. Portugal looking amazing. I think England are pretty much, will be lucky to make the semis. Very lucky. What do you reckon, Rowan?
Well, actually, they won their first ever Euro opener, which I didn't realise.
Oh, was that the first time? Yeah.
The first time.
That's why they're so excited.
Again, we have that thought of, because there's the English Premier League that we all know, a lot of football fans subscribe to, therefore you think England would be good. And then there's all these things to think, actually, they're not that as great as we thought. But as you said, France and Germany and Italy are flying. You think, well, surely they would be the front runners for the competition. But again, own bias, especially if you're a fan of the Premier League and, you know, there's players from England who are playing from your team, you go, well, yeah, let's go England. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Let's go my team. Yeah. I mean, I'm half Hungarian, so I was hoping the Hungarians would go well, but they got thrashed by Portugal. But, you know, that's okay. Now, while we're talking this, we all saw Ronaldo's press conference, right?
No.
Oh, yes.
He sits down to talk about after the game and there's like two bottles of Coke right next to him. And he's like, picks up the Coke. Moves them all the way down the other end of the desk and just picks up a bottle of water and says, drink water. Coke's value has gone down something like $1 billion since he did this.
Hell yeah.
I mean, the irony is that water could have been made by Coke.
Probably.
But it was a really, like, everyone just said, what a kick-ass move to move away the sponsor's drink out of the way, you know?
Well, he was probably getting sponsored by the water.
Well, maybe, but he didn't like show the label. I don't know what the label was, but it was just a really funny press conference. Just a way of watching him just really.
But I wonder how much Coke paid for those bottles to be there. That would have been orchestrated. That kind of stuff.
Or they paid money to the tournament to be the official drink. Paid lots of money. So they would have been pissed off.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I didn't see that. That's so good.
And did you see Paul Pogba followed up the next day by doing the same thing by removing the Heineken bottle? That was because that was another sponsor. So the next day he's like, well, I'll take away the Heineken as well.
I didn't get
like,
as much
at
coverage.
The presser, so they're sitting there at the press conference and like post-match, like most athletes do.
Yeah.
And they had the bottles of like Coke and beer there. Yeah. It makes no sense.
Nah. And obviously, you know, he's played a game. He wants to drink some water. He's not going to go drink a Coke.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're
gonna. I mean, a beer, maybe. But.
Beer's fine. The Matildas rebounded from a run of disappointing defeats with a goalless draw against heavyweight Sweden, who I'm pretty sure they play in the Olympics.
Group. I think they are, yeah, because that was a big test to see how we went against Sweden.
Yeah. So they've come off a few losses. So a draw against Sweden is good. And the Socceroos have claimed 8 consecutive wins in World Cup qualifying matches for the first time in history after beating Jordan 1-0 in a very fiery encounter.
Mm.
Ooh, spicy. So, yes,
yeah, but I mean, they still have things to do to get into the Olympics.
World Cup.
I was like, wait. Yeah, no. I was like, the World Cup and the Olympics is the same thing?
Sorry, yes, the World Cup. So they get through their stage and now they have another stage and it just keeps
going. Oh, yeah. It's a million bloody games.
All right. Anything else?
What about this boxing match?
Oh, Gallon and Honey.
Yeah, what was that?
It was a proper boxing match. Was it for a belt? I can't remember. But Paul Gallon, ex rugby league player, went the full 10 rounds, I think, with Honey. But then basically, he was beat. Like, he was gone. Gallon, really gutsy effort, but he got done in the end by, I can't remember his name, something Honey, H-U-N-I.
Justice Hooney.
And it was called out. It was called off at the end, I think in the 10th round, because he couldn't stand anymore.
He's quite old.
And he also, I think he broke a rib during the fight as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and kept on fighting. Like, he's a gutsy guy. Like, he really is. And I think he made, like, 1.1 mil. So, you know.
It sounds like that's why only like, people box is the only reason to...
For the money.
To make money, yeah.
There's big bucks there to be made. I mean, it is really crazy. You didn't talk about that Jake Paul fight that we had the other week as well.
Oh, my God. No, I didn't. I watched some highlights.
Yeah.
But that was a total money-making situation.
Oh, it was
situation.
Just an exhibition match.
Yeah,
yeah.
He got Mayweather got 100 million. Mm. Paul Logan got like 30 million.
But I don't understand the point of an exhibition match. Oh, we're going to watch two people
it's
fight.
Rigged. Yeah, but it's a rigged money making.
We're
going to
watch two people fight each other, but it doesn't really matter who wins. It's like, what's the point?
I think people want to see the Paul brothers, the Logan brothers, just get bashed up. No, seriously. Like, I think that's why. Like,
I'd be fine.
They're annoying. Mm. But he did all right considering.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah.
Annoyingly.
All right, well, the show is basically over, so it's time to do a quiz.
What's the name of the quiz? Well, usually someone yells it out there. Did no one yell it out?
No one yelled. So does that mean no one's doing a quiz?
Oh, my God. You're kidding me. Are you kidding me?
No one's got any questions?
No, I definitely do.
We do.
Here we go.
Okay.
Question number one. What is the capital of Iceland?
What? Reykjavik. What are you doing?
It is. Well, that was a great show, guys. Thank you very much.
Sometimes I don't know if our quizzes can get any worse.
I literally said, do you want me to do the quiz this week?
You did. Didn't you say you had one?
He had one. Oh, here we go.
I did.
Here we go.
And it's a good one, too.
Okay. This is for
next
time.
We have to save it for another time.
Okay.
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 Okay. Worst quiz ever.
Maybe the worst show ever.
That'll be up there.
Hey, thanks.
Stay sporty, people.
Thanks for hanging out for us on a Friday night. Listener.
Yeah.
Listening to 2SER. You're listening to Across the Park. My name's Mick. That's Joel. This is Gabby. You've been listening to half an hour of sports news. We ran out of time.
2SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
Hello, and you are listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3 with me, Ruby Innes. No Patrick today, so sad, you hate to hear it, but such is life. And, you know, we're going to have a nice chill show, and I've got the ever so lovely Bebubbo Skirla with me. How you doing, doll?
I'm good. I feel like I'm on the Joe Rogan experience. It's quite a trip.
You are. I'm Joe Rogan.
And remember, this is the experience.
Do you remember me from Fear Factor?
Yes.
It was so scary.
I was scared.
If I'm on, all I know is that he was on Fear Factor, but I had never actually seen an episode of Fear Factor.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing like Mad Magazine sort of spoofs on Fear Factor. That was where I got most of my popular culture from as a teen.
Fair. Like, I was big on, what was it, K-Zone?
Oh, yeah, K-Zone.
Loved K-Zone.
It was K-Zone or Total Girl.
Yeah.
You know, and if you got both, you're bi now.
Yeah.
So that was me.
That's tea. That's
yeah, that's the tea.
So true. Like, I remember getting onto, what was it, like, really bad, like I loved Girlfriend and I loved Dolly and all that shit, but there was a bit of my heart that just I loved K-Zone.
It was the kid zone.
Exactly.
The zone to be.
And I I've only done one stand-up set ever. You were there.
Yeah.
But I mean technically my first ever stand-up set could be attributed to primary school going up at a school talent show with a K-Zone magazine.
Oh my God.
And just reading jokes.
Wow, is that something you actually did?
It's something
That's
I actually
crazy.
Did.
I mean, kind of get that vibe from you, but
That's exactly the vibe
tracks.
I want to be giving off, you know? She seems like the type of bitch who would read K-Zone magazine jokes
at a talent.
School. Yeah. It was my talent.
It
my
was
talent
your talent.
Was reading.
Yeah. And she was pretty good at it, so.
And then I unlearned it because I don't need it anymore. Mm.
Hot girls can't read and I needed to be hot.
Exactly. So we got a pretty cool show. I'm going to play you some music before we delve a little more into the bitch that is B. So first off, I'm going to play you a track. This one comes from Aloose and Cakes Da Killer and it's called Wig.
Woo.
It's called Wig, in brackets, remix. So you're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3, and this is Wig by Aloose and Cakes Da Killer. It ain't going anywhere. Bitch, pull my hair. It ain't going anywhere. Yes, bitch, pull my hair. It ain't going anywhere.
Move, bitch, get out my way. Get out my face. Get out my way. Get out my face. Bitch, get out my way. Get on my face, pose for a flip, snatching a wig, I be in top place, I tuck in lowercase, I rather push it a worry, then I rather dig like a Tara, diamonds to see around my neck, he
on his knees, yeah, he blessed. And then my unicorn poly, cause she be stuck in all the pockets. We be on sci-fi, body all got like pussy on Klondike. He wanna taste. He be on tea tree, lay like a kiki. I only beat on the face. Ask for my surgeon stitches. 1-800, know your business. Told him I only wanna fuck in the back of the Brinks truck. Move, bitch, get on my way. Get on my face. Get on my way. Get on my face. Mm, bitch, get on my way. Get on my face. Post for a flip. Snatching the wig.
Why you feeling so lusty?
Yes, bitch, pull my hair. It ain't going anywhere.
Bitch, give me some room. Guess who back in the booth? Me and the lust came to do what it do. No funds for the fees, and I'm stuck in the deuce. I don't show my face for the free. Playing on my line, but it's waiting to be a leash. Wasting my yacht like I learned from Khalees. Trying to fill on my body and keep with my sheets. Seems too pretty, pretty baddest in the city, city. Bout that bread, cause we get to the dough. Eyes on my prize, but my legs don't divide. Begging for a test drive, it's a no go. MVP with a new technique. Seen a couple hard rocks trying to shine like me. Eat off my plate, trying to sip off my tea. Don't need a cosign when I'm freaking on a beat like.
Get on my way. Get on my face. Get on my way. Get on my face. Mm, bitch, get on my way. Get on my face. Post for a flip. Snatching the wig.
Yes, bitch, pull my hair. It ain't going anywhere.
Are you a local business owner? Did you know 2SER is a registered charity, which means any donation you make over $2 is tax deductible? Donate before June 30th at 2SER.com on behalf of your business, reduce your taxable income, and help keep us on air. Thanks for your continuing support of this radio station. We can't do it without you.
Got a soft
And that was Tank Girl by Dagger and Susie Wu. And once again, you're listening to the Tuesday. No, it's not the Tuesday Daily.
It's Friday.
It really is Friday. such is my life. It's Friday, and it's a gay area here on 2SCR 107.3. My name is Ruby, and once again, I am with the lovely B. Barbosa-Gurla. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are. So don't even worry about it.
Oh, my God, that's lovely. So I mentioned before that, you know, we're going to have a chat, and I did not lie. So, B, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, so you do comedy.
Yeah.
This is true. So how exactly did you kind of get into it?
Well, like, I don't know. It was a weird thing because I don't really think I had a concept that stand-up comedy was something that you could do in Sydney. It was like one of those weird unattainable things, like, oh, I don't know, I guess like Jerry Seinfeld and Amy Schumer do it. And that's all I knew about comedy. Like, but yeah, I met my friend Alexi, who, you know, Alexi Taliopoulos.
Yes, sweet boy.
Met him at film school, and he was running a comedy night at the time, and he would just invite all of us, and that's kind of where I started watching a lot of comedy. Every month I'd go to Green Lights.
I was about to say, was it Green Lights?
Yeah, it was, yeah, Green Lights. Totally. And I would just like bring all my friends. It would be like a huge event, hang out with all the comedians. And then I just kind of started making friends with comedians, and everyone was like, you should probably do stand up. And I was like, who, me? No. I don't know. I'm shy. Yeah. And then I just kind of started doing it because I just like got super obsessed with it. But yeah, it kind of was like a sort of natural progression for me. But yeah, I just didn't know before that it was possible to.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough.
Because it's like Sydney. Like, nothing happens in Sydney.
No. It's the city that sleeps.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what have kind of been some of, like, your favourite moments, I guess, in your comedy career?
Oh, man. Like, I'll never forget, like, the first time I did comedy, like, stand-up. I, like, got off stage and, my whole body was, like, shaking because I was just full of adrenaline. And I was like, oh, my God, it's so good to feel again. finally.
Pure thrill of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, you know, I did some pretty cool gigs. Like, I opened for Will Anderson at the Comedy Store.
Wow.
Yeah, which was pretty sick. He does, like, this improv sort of – he improvs, like, a whole hour of stand-up, and every night he has, like, a new comedian to sort of, like, open for him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, like, I opened. I did all, like, these bits, you know, to a crowd that were, like, full of boomers.
Sick.
And, you know, it was like, you know, I didn't go badly, but I didn't go well. It's, you, like, know what I mean?
Anybody own a second house here? Damn, yeah. That's crazy.
I'm like, y'all ever played The Sims before? And they're like, what the fuck is The Sims?
Y'all ever made them fuck and, yeah, one of them is you?
They're like, what? Yeah. And then, like, it was just funny watching Will Anderson, like, lightly roast me, being like, yeah, she was talking about The Sims and then fingering, like, that's wild. And I was like, it is wild.
That's so crazy. Boomers don't know what fingering is.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I don't know. It makes me sad to think that, like, you know, a lot of boomers probably just, you know, never got fingered.
Yeah. Most likely, like, I don't think that was a formative experience for them.
No.
Yeah.
They weren't 15 in the bushes.
No. They were 15 at church.
Yeah. Whoa, that's even...
Reading Bible?
Reading the Bible.
You need both hands to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm. That's... Yes.
Ooh. Oh, God. But yeah, I mean, that's sick. Mm. Like, opening for old Willow.
Yeah.
Nobody calls him that.
Oh, everybody calls him that.
Everybody calls him
it's
that.
It's a well-known fact, yeah, that everyone calls him that.
Yeah. Like, everyone's like, hey, Willow. And he's like, that is my
he's
name.
He's like, what's up?
Please wear it out.
Yeah.
So you also, big congrats. You also released your debut film, Suburban Wildlife,
yes,
in 2019. Mm-hmm. Very huge, very cool. And it's a full feature film. Very,
yeah,
awesome. So what was the kind of the process like in, I guess, like, developing, producing it?
Oh, my God. It was one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. But not the most traumatic.
Well, that's good.
Woo! But yeah, like my friend Imogen and I, Imogen McCluskey, who's co-writer and director of the film, we kind of met at film school. And like in second year, we were kind of like, why don't we just like, you know, mess around and write a freaking feature film because we were like 21 and stupid and we were like, this is so easy. So we wrote it and we took it to some of our like classmates and stuff and like, you know, soon enough we had like a producer or a cinematographer. We had like all these people who just wanted some experience on something bigger than a short film. Because it's like we had all made short films at that point and also people don't really care about short films anymore. So it was like, this is the sickest thing. But like, you know, we shot 14 days over February, which is notoriously the hottest time. There was one day where we had to go down to a like lake thing. And it was like 45 minutes downhill in the early morning. Mm. And the schedule said, then we have to go back up and be somewhere by 3. So that means we were walking uphill in the February heat for like an hour. And also that was the day where it was like 42 degrees. The cricket had been cancelled kind of vibes. And
the cricket's not even on. That's how
if
you know
if the cricket's
it's
not on.
Yeah. If those cricket guys can't even do the cricket.
Yeah, that's when you know it's a hot one.
It's a hot day.
Yeah, and I like got heat stroke and couldn't drive home.
Oh my god.
It was fucked. Yeah, and then like after that as well, like it took us, you know, almost 2 years to edit it together, but you know,
post-production
baby. Vibes and
freaking work.
Yeah, after like, you know, 3 years, we got this great feature film and we were able to take it to America, like London, Italy, and we premiered at the Sydney Film Festival, which was like a dream because, you know, that's like the hometown sort of legend.
Yeah, no, that's huge.
Yeah, so it was like in a way worth it, but I would never do it again.
Oh, but you will.
I will, but not in that way.
Yeah, no,
with
fair
a
enough.
Lot of money.
Yes, the key is
because that was another thing. We had no money.
Yeah,
we had $4,000.
Oh my god,
which is no money.
That's no money. It's that's no less money than Paranormal Activity, the first one.
How much was that?
I think $30,000.
Yeah, and that's low budget.
Yeah,
we're something called micro budget.
Yeah,
because you can't even see it.
You're microdosing.
Yeah, you're micro. You're microdosing being rich. $4,000.
And so what was the kind of reception that you got?
I think it was like mostly good. Like, you know, what was the best thing was like, you know, people who we didn't think would related to it. So like, you know, 50-year-old women who were like, this is exactly how my friendship group, and it made me like cry because it reminded me of my youth and stuff. You know, because we tried to make a film for like teens, like a coming of age sort of film. But yeah, seeing how it kind of like transcended like certain demographics and stuff was really cool. But also I have like a little, my favorite hobby is going onto Letterboxd, the like film reviewing website, and looking at the 1-star reviews of my film because it is so funny. People are like, you know, don't read the bad reviews. Don't read it. And I'm like, no, read them because they're so funny. And you're like, yeah, I'm right. I wrote this when I was fucking 20. Like, of course this is shit, you know? Like, people, you know, writing like, rich people problems. And I'm like, yeah, it is about that, lol.
Yeah.
Or like people being like, there's a lot of driving in this movie. And I'm like, nice observation.
My main problem with this was that they in car too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't vibe.
I don't like when they go in car.
I can't drive and so they shouldn't.
Yeah,
in the
not
movie.
Relatable for me.
They must have fucking hated Fast and Furious.
Oh,
Jesus.
God, I couldn't. Couldn't believe what they would say.
Every other review on their page is just Fast and Furious movies, and they're like, too much driving. I didn't expect this much driving.
And yeah, like it was this beautiful little kind of queer film that sort of reflected a time in me and Imogen's life that is now immortalized forever in this little movie. So that's kind of cool.
It's
and
gorgeous.
Nice. I
love
don't know.
It. So you also, I mean, like you'd be doing.
I've
lots
been doing
of
everything. It's called high functioning depression.
Oh yeah, baby.
And it fucking rules.
Yeah, you get a lot done, and you don't feel good about it.
Too true.
Literally everything you do, it's like the next thing's like, oh, I finished.
Yeah.
And on to the next one.
Woo!
But you also had a podcast with fellow comedian Lauren Bonner, we love her, called Were You Hot in High School?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, that was like a fun little podcast that Lauren and I had, which basically just kind of went off like mine and Lauren's obsession with high school. Like, I just think that is such an interesting time in everyone's lives. And it's one of those questions that I found myself asking in the lead up to the podcast. A lot of people I didn't know that well, like what their experience was in high school or if they were hot in high school. Yeah. And you find out so much about a person from doing that. Like, you know, I don't know if you could tell from me, but I used to cosplay in high school.
Yes.
And that's the vibe that makes me who I am today. And it's like, you know, were you hot in high school? What was your high school experience like?
I mean, I had like the perfect concoction of big tits and very low self-esteem.
Oh, interesting.
So everything kind of went into that. And I was like, I'm pretty. Boys like me. This is awesome.
And this is my personality now.
This is my whole thing. And it hasn't changed.
No. You're doing stuff. No. You're killing it.
I'm killing the game. But I also did a bit of cosplaying in
high
school.
Oh, my God. What a reveal.
Yeah, because I saw that you did some Homestuck cosplay, which some
cringe.
People listening might know and some might not know because it was a very specific part of Tumblr culture.
And if you don't know, don't look it up. I mean, you're better just not knowing, you know? Live your life in blissful ignorance.
Yeah, and not to mention because of the kind of defunctness of Adobe Flash now.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're trying to kind of like archive all of it, but a lot of what's it called? MS Paint Adventures is not available anymore.
Oh,
which is
that
nuts.
Sucks. Because as well, like there's so much content on that. It's crazy.
God, huge.
What did you used to cosplay? Stop avoiding the subject. Let's go back
what
to
are you
it.
Talking about? I did. There was one time where I went to a convention as what's her name? I think it's Misa from Death Note.
Oh, my God.
I wore this just ratty blonde wig. It was disgusting. And then, like, I think probably, like, half an hour after I got to the convention, I took it off and just refused to wear it. I was like, it's itchy. And then a few years later, I went as Sailor Jupiter from Sailor Moon.
Oh, cool.
Because I already had the hair, so I didn't have to do much else
and
except
you didn't
get
have to
the
wear
costume.
A terrible wig.
I did not.
Yeah.
My hair was not itchy, which was great. There was no wig and no lice.
Yeah,
which was
thank
just
God.
Awesome. And so the big moment that we've all been waiting for. So you've actually just started a comedy night.
Yes.
With Amelia, I always get her last name right, Navasquez. Oi. called Rat Club Comedy. So kind of what sparked the decision to start a comedy night?
Well, Amelia and I just like really wanted a night that felt cool and sort of still kind of loose. I feel like post-COVID, a lot of comedy rooms haven't really sort of come back from it in a way that they used to. There's no real gigs that like me or Amelia had felt like really enthusiastic about. And so we were like, oh, let's build a place where it's like fun for comics, but also fun for the audience. And it becomes that thing kind of like Green Lights, the one that Alexi ran that I was speaking about earlier. Like, you know, this awesome place where every week, you know, you can come in, you know, you're going to have a good time, see some people you like, see some people you hate, but also not get too, you know, caught up about it.
Yeah.
And just see like a great diverse lineup of like, you know, in diverse in terms of identity, but also in terms of like skill, you know, getting the most established comedian on the circuit right now and getting someone who's only been gigging like 3 times or something, you know, like we'd love to have you on, Ruby, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was, B and I have been talking about this. I've been thinking of getting back into stand-up for quite a while. It just, I think what really shocked me was there was a moment where I was going to a lot of comedy gigs and seeing a lot of my friends do sets. And obviously everyone's got like their bits that like they polish and they get real good. And then they do them at, you know, all their shows, and then they'll start going for new content, yada, yada, yada. The cycle continues. I thought that people just did new bits every time. Yeah,
there's a lot of that. I love speaking to newcomers because I love letting them know that that is not the way. Like, again, like I was saying before, like, I was very lucky that I made friends with a lot of comedians before I started gigging. So I kind of, like, got the grasp of like what you're meant to do. I'd seen someone do the same set like 10 times over and I'm like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. It's not like you're making it up on the spot. It's something that's rehearsed and like revised and sort of polished and stuff like that. And like so many people come to me when they like just start doing comedy and they're like, oh my God, I've already done this set at this room before. Like, do I need to change it completely? And I'm like, in the nicest way possible, no one cares.
No one remembers. Perfect.
I have some friends that I've seen so many gigs do a joke that they've said 20 times before, and I feel like I've heard it for the first time, and I'm like, wow, that's actually really smart. And then they'll be like, I've been doing this for 3 years. And I'm like, what?
Well, yeah. I got quoted in an article recently, and they as my title, they said comedian.
I mean,
so I feel like now
you're
I kind of
personality. I think you know, you're on Twitter, you're online.
I'm an internet personality, exactly. Unfortunately. But now that I've been named as a comedian, I feel like I kind of have to
start doing it. Commit
now.
To it.
Yeah, I'll commit to the bit.
Yes.
So Rat Club. Could you be able to tell us a little bit more about, you know, when, where, how, and why?
So it's on every Monday night at 7 p.m. at Mosh Pit on South King Street. It's this really cool music venue, and there's just, like, amazing lineups. We've got good beer. It's just a vibe. So, like, yeah, every Monday, 7 p.m. at Mosh Pit.
So it's happening next Monday. Is that is that your first one?
Yeah, first one. And it's nearly sold out, would you believe it? So if anyone's listening, you know, snap them up now.
Buy them ticks.
It's Rat Club with a K. And if you are busy this Monday, you can come next Monday.
That's
and the
so
Monday
fair.
After that.
And who's on the lineup?
So we've got two amazing feature acts this coming Monday, Rosie Piper and Sam Campbell. They're two of the funniest comedians.
Very different comedians.
Very different. But that's what we want to do. We want to kind of like showcase this kind of, you know, the beautiful melange that is the Sydney comedy scene.
So true.
But yes, Sam Campbell is a brilliant, absurdist sort of best show nominated comedian at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. He's done stuff for BBC and, you know, all this crazy stuff in the UK. And Rosie is one of the what does she call herself? She calls herself the premier transgender lesbian comedian.
What a title.
Yeah, I know.
What a title.
So, yeah, she's great. And she's been on, like, Tonightly. She's performed at the Opera House. Like, she's a pretty big deal, too.
Yeah. She's kind of a big deal.
And a lovely gal.
Well, that's
one of my dearest friends.
Absolutely sick. And can't wait. Buy your tickets now. Rat Club Comedy. That's club with a K.
Yes.
And we got to go. But thank you so much for tuning in. You've been listening to It's a Gay Area with me, Ruby Innes, and B. Barbo Skirla. Thank you so much for joining us,
doll. Thank you for having me.
And I'm going to play us out with a track from Tyler, the Creator. Bit of a language warning. There's some cuss words. And this is called Lumberjack.
Rolls Royce, pull up, black bar, hop out. Shout out to my mother and my father. Hold up!
Oh my God, I've never seen it like this.
That's what my mom was saying. She was crying and shit. She was just like, this shit is beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. You always keep the picnic blankets in the back because you never know.
Okay. Now we ready.
Rolls Royce, pull up. Black boy, hop out. Shout out to my mother and my father. Didn't pull out. MSG sell out. Fuck these niggas yap out. Whips on whips. My ancestors got their backs out. Too far, 500 stacks for the hood. Call me Lumberjack because I wish a nigga would race. Do it like I. This the wish a nigga could face. They ain't getting paper like they should race. Niggas ain't really on the type of shit he on. I hit Drizzy and told him I had a milli for him. I own my company's full, told him to keep the loan. I took that gold bitch home, niggas was big mad. I put that bitch on the shelf to let it ventilate. Bought another car cause I ain't know how to celebrate. That big boy, that big bitch for all weather. It never rained in Cali, came with an umbrella. Rolls Royce pull up. Black boy, hop out. Shout out to my mother and my father, didn't pull out. MSG sell out. Fuck these niggas, yap out. Good credit score, this car really can't max